Welcome to Jaguars This Week. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
And Tony Baselli.
Color analyst, Jeff Lagerman.
And Tony Baselli.
And Jaguars.com senior writer, John Osher.
And Tony Baselli.
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Sonny's Barbecue, Wells Fargo, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
Good evening and welcome in to Jaguars Central inside Everbank Field in Jacksonville for Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna. Very busy day here around the stadium. We've got a lot to talk about and a lot of people to talk to. Mike Mularkey, the Jaguars head coach, will join us just after the first break, so about 17 after the hour, and you will have a first chance to interact with the head coach. And we were able to grab Jaguars owner Shad Khan and convince him, twist his arm a little bit, to join us on the air. You have a big smile on your face, and you did when you walked into the team meeting. First of all, welcome. Thank you for a couple minutes of your time.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I mean, I'd love to spend the whole hour here and hog your airtime. But I thought Mike is here, and I think the fans really want to hear from him. I think he's a great hire.
This has to be an exciting day for you, though. I mean, this is your first coach, you know. I mean, this is the first step to building a consistent winner.
Absolutely. I think it's a great day, and the process, really, we went through finding Mike. It's like you go to Central Casting. You got a script. Give me this ideal person. And you're shocked when you find him. So, obviously, I'm delighted.
How long did it take you to realize that about Mike? Was it something, I mean, you know how chemistry works with people? And did you realize it pretty quickly?
Maybe 4.5 hours into the interview, I kind of realized. I said, you know, I think we got the guy. But he knew quite a bit about him. And as we were talking to people, Gene had put together really a summary, literally from the first day. Wayne had the press conference. He came in and did those three things, obviously coaching change and then Gene's contract and selling the team. I think since that time we had a huge history and portfolio of information, so I think we had that on Mike. But what you don't get is the culture, the values, the physical, the emotional connection that this is a winner and who's going to do whatever it takes to win the right way.
A lot has been made of Blaine Gabbert and the young quarterback. And we even talked about it last time we were on the air about how important it is to develop that position and develop Blaine. How much did that go into the decision of getting a guy like Mike Mularkey, who had a ton of success in developing a young quarterback in Matt Ryan and all the success he's had there, of having him come in and be able to work with a guy like Blaine Gabbert?
Tony, I think that's a definite factor. I think, and it's something you can't speculate on, you can't guess on. You've got to have a track record to be able to do that.
This morning, prior to filming a show that's going to be aired Saturday night at 7 o'clock on CBS 47. Yep. That is a cheap plug, by the way, a season in review show.
Nothing wrong with shameless self-promotion.
Got on the phone with general manager Gene Smith, and I wanted to get his thoughts on Mike Mularkey, and the first word out of his mouth was integrity. And I think that, obviously, you have to start with that when you talk about successful people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that and doing things the right way. Regrettably, the right thing is almost always the hard thing. The easy, the shortcuts, the flash, obviously, that expires quickly. Yeah. So, I mean, we're starting. It's a rebirth. It's a foundation. I mean, to me, we want to win quickly. We want results, but it has to be something sustainable. We don't want to flame out.
What's next on your to-do list now that you have your coach?
Well, I think help Mike. Whatever, as he assembles his staff, I think we have, some reflections. Gene does, I do, on a bunch of people we met. And a lot of the people really higher profile we met confidentially, they gave us some insights. So really assemble a staff. I think that's one. But the most important thing, how we connect with fans. And I think these are fans, you know, who might not be able to get to a game, who for whatever reason, can buy a ticket, don't buy a ticket, doesn't matter. We want to connect with them all. And so the fan experience, the stadium experience, how do we get people out of their living room couch with six best friends to come and join the 67,000 best friends?
You're going to start that process next Tuesday night, right?
Yes.
With the Ready to Rise rally.
Absolutely.
At 5:30 here at the stadium. It's free. Gates 1 and 4 open. Parking in lots D and J. $2 beers, reduced price concessions. Come on out. Ready to Rise with Mr. Khan next
Tuesday evening, the 17th.
And one of the things I know, the football side's exciting, and we're going to talk a lot about that with Coach Malarkey here in a second. But I think one of the things that has to be exciting for the fans, and Shad, you've talked about it quite a bit, is making this the best fan experience possible at the stadium. Obviously, the NFL's done a great job with the TV product and people being able to watch it. And for those who can't afford tickets, that's a great opportunity to be fans and watch the Jaguars. But I think it's exciting that we are going to work hard to make this one of the best fan experiences in the NFL for all our fans who come and buy tickets.
Absolutely. And we've got a lot of ideas, and I spent Friday at the league. I saw what some of the state-of-the-art ideas are. We're going to float them. And most importantly, I mean, we're going to execute them, from simple things to having a very strong signal for cell phones, so you know, fantasy or anything else you're doing, you have a connection with, and then having bunch of ID boards where you know, you can go through our different games, number of other elements like that, and obviously the sound system. I think that's very important.
You're opening every door, turning over every stone in this organization, aren't you?
Absolutely. I think we want it to be the best. We got the best fans.
Thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it. Again, the fans can come and meet you next Tuesday evening, the 17th, 5:30.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. Thank
you. I know you got a busy week in front of you. That's Jaguars owner Shad Khan. The new head coach, Mike Malarkey, joins us next here on Jaguars This Week on Jaguars Radio. Rolling right along here, Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna every Wednesday night throughout the offseason, 6 till 7 here on Jaguars Radio. And we're pleased to invite in now Jaguars head coach, Mike Malarkey. How's that sound to you, Coach?
Hold on.
I'm really happy to be here.
Hold on, sir. Yeah. There we go. We finally got your microphone on.
So I'll ask it again. Yeah, how does it sound?
Joe behind the
sounds better the second time.
There we go.
We'll say it a lot around here. Well, welcome, first of all.
Yeah, I know glad it's a to busy be here. Very, very you. Happy to be here and very excited about the opportunity to get things going here with everybody.
I would have to think that now that you know you're here and you got the position, now that really you hit the ground running. I mean, you got things to do.
I do, and really today is that kind of day where you do the press conference and you do the, you know, the radio show, and as soon as you kind of do all those things, then you do just kick it into the football part of it, which is why I'm here, is, you know, with the building the roster and looking at the current roster where we need to make some adjustments and all those things. That all takes place, and that's real fun.
Assembling the staff, I would think, would be priority number one. You know, I mean, there's –
It is.
You want to be first, I guess, in line, so to speak, so you can get who you want. Are there any priorities that you really are aiming for? You know, there's talk, you know, Mel Tucker obviously was a successful defensive coordinator here. Any thoughts on him and then who you would like to get?
Well, Mel's done a great job here as a coordinator. I'm going to speak with Mel tomorrow. The filling the coordinator roles, to me, is the utmost priority, because now you don't want to just bring in a bunch of different pieces and maybe they don't fit with that coordinator and his philosophy. So you don't want to just pick and choose and just grab just because you got first choice and it's early in this off season of hiring coaches. So we're going to focus on the coordinators. We're going to make some contacts. We're going to talk to a few different people. Obviously, we're going to talk to Mel tomorrow, and I have a lot of respect for what Mel's done. And then you work down the list with the assistants. And we have a list. We have a good target for each position, and we're going to start that tonight.
Philosophically, when you look at the top teams in the league, and we were talking about balance in your news conference, it's a 70-30 pass to run in the National Football League when you look at Green Bay, New Orleans, Detroit, Carolina even has that number. Is that what balance is in this league, or do you see it being more towards 60-40? I mean, God forbid it's 50-50 anymore, but
no,
what is balance?
It's whatever it is to win. I mean, you got to – I mean, you can.
It's a great answer.
I mean, honestly, you know, you'd like to go in thinking, "Hey, we're a physical run team that sets up the play action, that and take your shots when shots are at the right time, and block it up and throw the ball down the field." You'd like to have that mentality, and I think teams, you'd like to get to the point that teams know that's the philosophy, and they try to stop it, and they can't. But if you have to be a pass offense for a day or a half or whatever then we have the capability of doing that. I think that's anybody's mindset, but you know, everybody has a little different philosophies on it. The one thing that our offense has been able to do is time of possession.
Right.
And that's hard to do when you're throwing the ball
so much.
Right.
I think just people see Drew Brees, right? And in the year, it took 28 years for someone to break Dan Marino's record. And in the year that one guy did it, three guys did it.
Right.
And Obviously, you know, because Brees, you know, got to 5,500 passing yards this year. It just seems like the league is just pushing that envelope so far. The people who are listening probably expect that that's what you have to do to win.
Well, like you mentioned Carolina earlier, you know, they've obviously improved with the addition of Cam Newton in the passing game. But, you know, you saw where they ended the year. And, you know, obviously we didn't make it to the next level in the playoffs, which we would have liked with our scheme here. But you got some great quarterbacks right now in the league, and they've got some weapons with them that have allowed them to do what they're doing. And I think with that is the complement of the defense that's with them. I think they play hand-in-hand with each other, and they've got great defenses to get them the ball back. And it's, you know, there's a lot of reasons why things are going good, but I think, you know, and Drew is obviously having the unbelievable lights-out year. Hard to stop them. I mean, anybody right now. Right.
But two of the best teams also, if you look at just this year with all the explosive passing, the San Francisco 49ers, great defense, very balanced, and the Baltimore Ravens. And one of the things I think it's important when we talk about balance, and Coach C and doing a number of your guys' games this year for the radio, you guys aren't afraid in your offense to go no huddle, because Matt Ryan did a number of times for almost entire halves and calling the game at the line of scrimmage, run pass, and really mixing it up quite a bit.
Right, and you know, it's just another way to keep a defense off balance, because, and we, you know, each week we would talk about when do we want to, even if we need to, get into the no huddle. And it may have been one reason was to pick up the tempo, or this is the best way to attack them. They've got guys that we want to wear out up front without even snapping the ball, being in the no huddle where they got to stay in stances. So there's a number of reasons why we did it, and it was very effective for us. But Matt, you know, the quarterback's instructions were try to run the ball.
Right.
And if you can't run the ball because they've done something defensively, then throw the ball. And so really it wasn't, you know, it wasn't about getting them out there in the no huddle to throw the ball. It's really, the philosophy was run it, and if you can't, then throw it.
And how long does it take? Because watching Matt Ryan, and he really got proficient this year, especially in that no huddle. How long does it take a young quarterback to get to that point where you as a coach and him as a player have the confidence to go execute like that?
You know, this no huddle started in Pittsburgh. It's the same. We call it the same. Everything very similar to what we were doing in Pittsburgh with Cordell Stewart. And the thing we found out about it was the quarterback, now that he's got the opportunity to call plays, was going to call the plays that he felt most comfortable with, and was probably going to be more successful because he had confidence in what he was about to call, compared to me putting a call in there and him having to make an adjustment based on the defense in front of him. So I found way back then that it was suitable to a quarterback, and going even into Buffalo, and you know, it plays to the quarterback's strengths, and it really does. It's a great changeup.
That sort of leads to the obvious question. You know, you talked about it a lot today. Your impressions of Blaine Gabbert? I know you watched a lot of him on tape before you got here.
I like him. I mean, he's a competitive. Obviously, he's got the skills, the size, very strong arm, mobile. Which in this offense, you got to be able to move out of the pocket. You know, we like to run the ball, but you also got to have something to play off the run, and I think Blaine fits that mold great. I just think he needs an off season to kind of sit in a relaxed environment where we can sit and show in detail the little things of the game, not just his fundamentals and techniques, but, you know, defenses, why are they doing this, how to read things, all those things, which he really never had a chance to do that last year, and just kind of right into the fire of training camp. And training camp is 100 miles an hour, which is hard on anybody, let alone a quarterback.
He's such a focus of fans, and, you know, when you hear fans talk, they wonder what that offseason will entail. Why will that be so important for him, those 2 or 3 months where he's really working with the coaches and getting, you know, versed in what's going on, if you will?
Well, it's just the tone, I'm going to say, of the practice or the meetings. When you get into a training camp or you get into the regular season schedule, you're basically installing and going to practice what you just installed. And it's not like you can go, hey, we got, go take a break, come back, we can talk about this again. It's just a little more at ease, and it's not, the pressure is much more off of them. You can see things a little clearer, and It's just a better environment when you can do that. And, you know, like I said, he had no opportunity to do that, and I think that held back probably a lot of players, not just him.
Mike, earlier in the day at the press conference, you had said that you will not call offensive plays, and for an offensive coach to say, I'm not going to do that, why? And then I would think that you have somebody in mind for that role.
Well, we're working on that.
that was a good try, Jeff.
Well, I'm not trying to get a name. I'm just saying, no, that, you know, for an offensive coach to say, I'm not going to call plays, you've got to have somebody you're very comfortable with.
Very comfortable. And I'm not going to, you know, I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to force feed this terminology. It's going to be the offense, but it may be somebody else's terminology, because I had that experience in Miami when I went down there where I had to run another offense and learn the offensive scheme and basically install it and call it like I invented it. And I really, you know, I thought, I'm so good, I can do something like that. And I really struggled down there doing it. And the other reason, you know, I'm just looking at the game management. There's some guys in this league that are excellent play callers, head coaches I'm speaking of, excellent play callers and can manage games. I'm not sure I'm one of them. I've had that experience in Buffalo. And I just think it's too critical at times in games that if you do something, you're not prepared for something, you do the wrong thing, it can be catastrophic for a game. And I don't want to put our team, our organization, or myself in that position right now.
If anyone looks back and who knows you and looks at your career as a coach, have some pretty strong convictions of how things need to be done in the right way and the wrong way. How much did that go into, as you looked at this team, of having the right pieces? A Maurice Jones-Drew, a young quarterback, a good defense. Obviously, there's some pieces that we got to get better at, but how much did that go into when you decided this is a place I'd really like to be a head coach?
A lot. It's not far off. There are some holes we need to fill here and there, but there are obviously the defense played well last year and had some problems as the injuries started to stack up on them. And I just, you know, it's a young, still young, relatively young team. And there's a lot of good things here already. That's not going to have to be a totally rebuild. And so there's a lot of good things happening here. I'm hopefully just make them better.
If you can look from the outside in still, now that you're inside, can you give folks an appreciation for what Maurice Jones-Drew did this year? The only thing this team did was run the ball. Everyone knew it was coming. And your thoughts on working with him and how to accentuate his talents and make him even better?
Well, he's special for what he does. He has the ability to move a pile for, certainly not going to say smaller size back, but he can move a pile or he can get on the edge and make people miss. And that's unique in this league. And the thing about him with his size, to have the number of carries that he had and to hold up like he did, is another credit to him. So obviously he's doing something right. In preparation, and maybe something when nobody's watching, he's doing extra whatever it is to be in the shape he was to hold up like he did. But he's a great runner. I got to watch him in our game, and he just, when you don't think there's anything there, he just somehow came spitting out of there. And he'll fit the mold of this offense. I mean, I've been, again, Michael Turner and
sure.
Jerome Bettis. I mean, similar style.
It's just his whole approach to the game and to the locker room is just so strong.
Yes.
You know, to have a guy like that coming in with a new team, new coach, has to be something that you're counting on.
It said a lot last night. You know, I got a text from him last night and from Blaine and how excited they were getting ready to go. And, we kind of went back and forth last night and this morning, and that was a real positive for me, that these guys, even though they're trying to get away and recover and get away from football for a little bit, that the excitement in their voices, especially talking to Blaine today, were so positive.
From talking with General Manager Gene Smith earlier today, he said it was important that, you know, there's a partnership that works between the coach and the general manager. How important is it to you to work with a guy like Gene Smith, and did you know Gene Smith prior to this process?
I've known Gene for a number of years, not real close, but obviously I'm aware of his reputation and what he's done since he's been here in Jacksonville, and I think he's kind of followed my career dating back to Pittsburgh, and I think we have, no question, we have mutual respect for each other, and just the times we've had a chance to talk to each other, there is a connection there, and we spent a lot of time yesterday talking, and there's no question that we'll be able to communicate and get this thing on the right track.
As you talked about earlier, obviously first priority, building staff, getting the right coaches here. My guess is pretty quickly after that is getting on the road with Gene Smith and the rest of the scouts and going finding some guys in free agency and also in the college draft coming up.
Right. That's kind of the process. The staff is obviously priority, and then you've got Senior Bowl coming up. Our free agency period's coming up here. So, we've got a busy schedule coming, but the first priority is make sure we put the right staff together.
And you got to figure out time to move down here, I'm sure, and find a place to live and everything else.
That's Betsy's job, isn't it?
That's Betsy, yeah. Betsy's she's an unbelievable – my wife Betsy is unbelievable. It's that she's done what she's done and put up with the schedule that takes place with me. But fortunately, it's not that far of a distance to get back and forth. And we come down to Jacksonville all the time from Atlanta. I mean, just – to get it when our escape from Atlanta was Jacksonville, so we're very familiar with the area. We love the people here. It's a great community, so we were down here a lot on our breaks. Our bye week, the Florida-Georgia game, we had a bye week. We came down and stayed in Ponte Vedra and stayed down here and just got to get away from the grind of the game. So we're big fans of this area and can't wait to move down.
I know people love to hear that.
You mentioned today in the press conference a couple of times feeling like you're a better coach now than you were in Buffalo. Any other ways specifically you feel like you're better? You mentioned a couple of them a moment ago.
I think my preparation and some of the things that came about with the interview yesterday and how some of the things are going to be handled differently as far as getting the job and the staff and how things, you know, when you're a rookie head coach, at times you do things that you may not agree with and you do it to get the job, and I think I learned a tough lesson there. There's some things that I obviously wasn't on board with, but I thought if I don't do it, probably not going to get the job. And I think I learned a tough lesson because in the long run, over the time I was there, it caught up to me, and it was not a good experience. And I don't want to get in that situation again. And that was a big thing. And when the interview yesterday with Gene and Shad, it was very positive. We're all in the same. The great thing is it was easy to communicate with each other. We got along great yesterday, and I think we're in the right direction.
You mentioned you told the truth, and that wasn't a hard thing to do when you were talking to him.
No, I just, you know, I'm very upfront. Right. I'm going to say it like it is, and I think especially people in this business don't want things sugar-coated, and I think it goes a long way. And I think it's just the right way to do it, and that's going to be a big emphasis here is let's just do this the right way. And if guys come in the locker room that way, let's just do it the right way. We're gonna take off here.
You've been in the league a long time as a player and now coach. Some of the people that have made the strongest impressions on you in your times in the NFL, whether it be as a player or coach.
Well, I can tell you I was fortunate as a player to be drafted by Bill Walsh and spend time with San Fran. I didn't make the team, but I was there for the off season and training camp, and there's things that I still believe in today that I got from Bill Walsh and Bud Grant up in Minnesota, his coaching style. But probably the biggest influence was Chuck Knoll in Pittsburgh, who I got to play for 3 years. I don't know if he gets the credit that he should get for the kind of coach he was. He's just amazing. The no flinch mentality of never letting things ever think that it's out of hand. It's just amazing. I mean, some of the games we were in after the game, he just made it sound like we had won by 50 instead of losing by 50. And the physical part of it, he was a big influence on that. I'm big into physical play, and Chuck really ingrained that in me. And then working for Sam Weish in Tampa, his creativity and his way to attack people really in the no huddle. You know, I think Sam doesn't get as much credit for the no huddle as he should, but a lot of influence there. And, you know, obviously working for Bill Cowher has been I've been around a lot of really influential people, head coaches and assistants. I've been very fortunate.
And all have won a Super Bowl with the exception of Bud Grant.
That's correct.
Although Bud went there plenty of times.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because I went from Minnesota to Pittsburgh, and in Pittsburgh, I was there for 3 years, and we were in full pads, and we absolutely beat the tar out of each other for 3 years from the first day I got there to the last. And I had just come from Minnesota, and it was not that way. It was a little finesse, and I figured, well, these guys won four, they lost.
This, this is the way it goes.
This is the way. This is the way it
better.
Is.
So I, you know,
so I followed that lead.
Not anymore.
No, you can't.
Now I was about to say the rules have changed.
Oh, the rules have changed. They would, you know, I tell stories like that to players now. You know, for example, being with Bud Grant, where he would not allow water on the practice field unless there was a cattle warning. To bring your cattle in out of the heat, and if there was a warning, he'd give you one water break. But if you, can you imagine that in today's NFL? It's just there's no way.
Love the game as much as you did back then?
I love the game. I love the competition. That's I tell people it's, you know, I like to whitewater raft. It's the thing about it is I can be on the same river 10 times. It's 10 different rides. That's every week games. The emotional highs and lows of. The game is just, it's a rush. There's nothing, and I worked at IBM for when I got out of playing, and I just didn't get that rush when, that I do now playing. It's, I'm very, very competitive. I do not like to lose. You can ask my kids. I don't care how old they were. I never let them win. I just don't like losing.
Do they beat you now?
No, they didn't.
There's got nodding going on over here.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Welcome. And okay. We appreciate you spending some time with us. And the offer is always open. We're here on Wednesday
nights. Great. Great to be here.
Thank you. That's new Jaguars head coach Mike Mularkey. We take this break and return with some analysis here on Jaguars This Week. 106. All right, here we go. More Jaguars This Week. Right here from Jaguars Central inside Everbank Field. So Shad Khan and Mike Mularkey both joining us this evening.
Pretty good
and,
show.
Yeah, this is where you come when you want the Jaguars news and information and the analysis. So you've known Mike Mularkey for a while. We just met him tonight for the first time.
Had you ever
spent any time around him?
I had not. I know.
Okay.
I'll give you my first impression. I've known Mike just from a distance covering Atlanta games, and I've always been everyone talks balance or whatever. I've been impressed from the standpoint of the way they move the ball. I mean, top 10 offense. They do a lot of different things formation-wise. No huddle. I'm a big fan of that, changing the pace of the game. But that's the only way I knew him. And I've had a lot of people say, what do you think about the hire? I said, well, he's a good offensive coordinator. And, you know, I think, you know, if you're going to hire any offensive coordinator to be your head coach, he's as good as anybody. But now meeting him, boy, what an impressive guy. I mean, you talk about there are people, and I think your head coach has to have this, that have an aura about them that just command respect, just who they are, whether they're over the top out there or just reserved or in between. They just kind of – they have a it factor. There are certain guys that I can meet and say there's no way he could ever be a head coach. Maybe a great position coach, maybe a great coordinator, but he just doesn't – he's not – as a player, you wouldn't look at him and go – oh, he's a head coach. You look at Mike Mularkey. I mean, he's a head coach. I mean, you just get that feeling about the way he handles himself, communicates. It's hard to explain. It's almost like when you talk about quarterbacks, do they have the it factor? My sense is, and we'll wait to see, because we haven't played one game with him as our head coach, but if I'm betting, I think he's going to be a great head coach. I like his demeanor. I like how he's going to approach the building.
Well, you know, he talked about two coaches that strongly influenced him, Bud Grant
pretty
and
good.
Chuck Knoll. And very the good. Thing was, is his demeanor was a lot like those two gentlemen's demeanor was. Mm-hmm. He was, matter of fact, smile on his face. He was enthusiastic, not over the top in any way, shape, or form. He talked about the fundamentals of football. I couldn't help but, as he mentioned, the guys that were most influential to realize that his personality is very much like theirs.
A non-salesman.
Yeah, he's in here to work.
No, and I think you said it right. I don't know how many years I've known Mike, but I mean, talked to him, you know, last couple of years quite a bit, and he's a very straightforward guy, and he gives it to you straight.
So good, that's what we need.
And I think that's the great approach, you know. And he's much like Gene Smith in that you do things the right way, and then you expect to have success by doing it the right way and keeping that level-headed, even-keeled approach and not be knee-jerk. And I asked him the question about the offensive coordinator because, I mean, he is an offensive coach. And it's not easy for an offensive-minded head coach to give up the reins, so to speak. So I'm very much looking forward to hopefully them being able to keep a Mel Tucker and then also offensively to go and get a guy that I think he's clearly got in mind.
Well, a couple things that stand out also, piggybacking what Jeff just said. I think great leaders, which you have to be a great leader to be a great head coach, a couple qualities. One is a humility in the sense of knowing where your strengths and what you're good at and how to manage people. And the fact that an offensive coordinator who learned from an experience in Buffalo understands what he excels at, what he thinks he can provide the best value, and is not afraid to bring in whoever the offense coordinator is to play that role and let them have – and I love what he said. He says, it's going to be my offensive scheme. If it's different terminology or different nuances that that individual wants to bring in, that's great because I want to let him succeed. I thought that was a very powerful statement. And the other thing that I love about him is the conviction. And I don't even know the details, and I don't want to get into it right but the Buffalo situation. How many guys would have the conviction because they believe something is wrong, would walk away and quit and give up the money? Gave up the money because of a conviction he had of right and wrong. And to me, that's all I need to know, because he's going to do what he believes right. And all I want from a head coach of this team is somebody who has a vision, knows what he wants to do, and has a conviction that he's going to do it this way. And I believe our hope is that it succeeds, but he's going to be a man of conviction. That's a leader.
And I spoke to Mark Gaughan of the Buffalo News today, who covered Mike when he was in Buffalo. And I like to talk to writers sometimes because, you know, Mark had no vested interest in the situation that happened in Buffalo, and he's an objective guy. And he said, hey, you know, criticize or praise the hire for whatever you will. But he said, don't criticize it based on what happened to Mike at the end here. He said what he did in walking away from that contract showed incredible integrity.
Oh, gosh.
He said that is a reason to praise the guy, and that is absolutely a strength. And I thought that was a pretty pertinent thing, because it's something that people are sort of bringing up. And the guy who covered the team at the time said, hey, that is not a negative in terms of Mike Mularkey. This guy is a man of integrity. And that, you know, is pretty important.
355-NFL-1 is our phone number. Let's take a break. We'll come back. One more segment to go here on Jaguars This Week on a Wednesday evening. Shad Khan was here. Mike Mularkey was here. Glad you're with us on Jaguars Radio. All right. We went long, obviously, with the Mr. Khan and Mike Mularkey, and so we're kind of cramming things in here at the end of the show. So where do we go now? What do you guys want to talk about?
I'm just looking forward to the staff that Mike Mularkey puts together. I mean, when you spend 18 years in the National Football League in a lot of different places, and you're a man of integrity like he is, he's going to be able to attract a very strong staff. And it will be a staff that's very consistent. And from talking and listening today, you know, they want people that are not going to be here for a couple years and then be looking for the next job. They're looking for people that are committed, that will want to be here long term, and that's what you want.
Jeff, how much will the fact that the NFL rule says that assistant coaches can't make lateral moves unless the team releases them? So you wonder how hard, because there's no doubt he has a strong network, like you said, being around 18 years. You wonder, will he be able to get everyone he wants because of that rule in the NFL and guys not making lateral moves?
I don't think he would get everybody, but I think that he's going to get the main components for the people that he wants, you know, because obviously the coordinator positions are the most important, and the ones that, you know, and if there's a lateral move at a coordinator position, if the tag is added, assistant head coach, offensive coordinator, or assistant head coach, defensive coordinator has to be added,
right,
you know, to get around that lateral move, then so be it. But there's going to be a lot of people, because there's a lot of people right now in the National Football League, and I'm talking about coaches that are looking for work, and a lot of good coaches with all the openings that there are
with
in
all
the National
staff,
Football
yeah,
League.
Changeovers.
Absolutely. And by the Jaguars having Mike hired now, and the ownership stability, the general manager, the head coach stability, this will be a desirable place. I don't care what any national media pundits say. This is a desirable place to work.
You know, we already established that they don't know what they're talking about.
Yes.
Hey, look, over the years, a lot of people have come through this building, and they've moved on to other places. But I had somebody in 1998 say they thought this should be a destination spot. Warm weather, Florida, all those benefits, one-horse town. And at the time, Mr. Weaver was spending a lot of money. So the comment was, an owner who wants to win. Well, that's what you've got here now with the stability that Loggy just laid out. It just makes it that much closer to being a reality.
Hey, the coach just said he vacationed here.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I think we're going to get a good staff, and there's ways around those lateral moves. It's just one of the challenges that every head coach faces as you as you try to assemble new staff. And then, but right on the heels of that, I mean, free agency, the league year being over and the new league year starting is right around the corner.
I think it starts a week later this year, but it's like the second week in March is when it goes.
So 6 weeks from now, we're going to be – I mean, so free agency is going to be on the teals with Gene obviously quarterbacking that and heading that up, but with the relationship and how they want to work together, Mike Mularkey's going to have a lot of work in evaluating and what pieces fit the scheme that he wants to run and the type of team that he wants to have. So you talk about a busy time. Staff, you got the Senior Bowl. A lot of that will be done at the Senior Bowl.
And the other thing that I think is going to happen now with the new head coach is that, you know, the staff being priority number one, but, you know, in between putting that staff together is the roster evaluation that he will conduct. Typically it happens, you know, with the coach going on his way out. Mike will come in and, you know, provide the input to General Manager Gene Smith on what his thoughts are, and Gene will welcome that. And then after that, then they'll start putting together plans and free agency, and, you know, obviously continue on with the college evaluations. But all that's going to happen, I'm sure, right along with assembling the staff.
He'll be watching a lot of tape.
Sure. And that communication process is so important for the coaches who are making the philosophical decisions. To be able to communicate that to scouting and to Gene is very important. And you do get the idea from talking to Mike tonight that that communication process between he and Gene will not be a major problem.
Dylan, I think the other thing is you know, the structure, you know. How will that structure be? And that's not something that I got, you know, that was very clear to me. Is, you know, is the GM and the head coach on equal footing, you know, both reporting to Mr. Khan? You know, that's something that we don't know about.
Well, we talk about this, and I know it's a lot of discussions that go on amongst ourselves and fans and everything. You know what that we forget? That Shad Khan's been the owner for 1 week. Mm-hmm. I mean, so 7 days. So a lot of things are still going to flesh themselves out, and how communication and how all the things work together. You just got a new head coach. You got Gene Smith, who is the GM now, and how that relationship is going to work. So I think there's a lot of unknowns that none of us know in this room that will flesh themselves out. And we'll see. I think the first test where we'll see that is around the draft and free agency and how those work out.
Well, they've got to jump now because, I mean, Romeo Crennel is obviously staying in Kansas City, but they've got to jump on the other teams that have job openings. If they act fast, we'll probably be talking about hires as quick as next Wednesday in some positions.
I mean, there's probably some that will go down tonight.
Yeah, because you want to get the jump on all those other teams.
Absolutely.
And because why not?
Well, the good thing with Romeo maintaining the job in Kansas City, I'm sure a lot of that staff will just stay together as well under Romeo. Mm. On the defensive side, at least.
Yeah, on the defensive side, maybe. You know, but maybe – you just don't know.
Well,
that's a good point.
How about Tony Sperano is now the offensive coordinator in New York?
Yeah, they can have him.
Yeah. things are – I just think –
tell us how you really feel, Jeff.
Things are moving fast. They're moving real fast around the National Football League. So you can expect some things to be around here as well. Exciting time.
It is. It's exciting, and you know, news is going to continue to come out on the coaching hires. And, you know, the best part is after – the crazy month and a half that we just had, it's now back to football.
Right. Before our next show, everyone listening, come Tuesday night, big night here at the stadium, ready to rise. Shad Khan, head coach Mike Mularkey, it's going to be a great night. Don't miss out.
$2 beers. $2 beers.
We'll leave on that note.